what a strange sequence of events around the investigation of the murder of Anne Widdecombe. You're calling it an assassination. Do you want to do it, or will I do it? Give what the shall we give the? I'll do it very quickly. So, counter-terrorism police are leading this investigation into the death of Anne Widdecombe. New information, they said, has arisen. The guy's 28 years old. He's a white British man from Rotherham in South Yorkshire. He was arrested on suspicion of murder on Saturday, but he's now been rearrested on suspicion of commission, preparation or investigation of acts of terrorism. Speculation is that he drove all that way down to Anne's house in Devon and killed her. What do you think of the way this is being reported, investigated? What are your thoughts, Tony?
Well, for me, the interesting thing is how this has unfolded, Richie, over the last 4 days. It was Thursday, her death was announced, no mention of any sort of suspicious circumstances, which is lying, really, just on its own. You know, if someone's been bludgeoned to death, you don't just announce, oh, they've died, you know, as if it's some sort of natural death. I think that's what the impression with the millions of people that heard the news on Thursday would have been given. But then while we were live on air on Friday, everything changed to murder, and it's a murder investigation. The police really have been appalling throughout this, so it would have been initially the police that would have been involved in announcing her death. It's very unlikely to just have been her family, or the journalist would have contacted the police, are there any suspicious circumstances, and being told no, or don't say anything or whatever. But I mean, this that whole day Thursday, there was this peculiar illusion propagated that this was just some sort of little old lady that had maybe been ill for a while. And it also transpired that morning, of course, she'd been on Talk TV and done an excellent interview about the Farage resignation literally the previous day. So this is, she died on the Wednesday, or was killed on the Wednesday. And it was literally the afternoon of the Thursday when I spoke to you last week that Farage did this big announcement with two massive elements to it. One is this investigation into the donation, big donation to him just before he became an MP. And the other being the threats to his life and the failure of the Home Office to respond to his request for proper security. And then over the weekend, everything's developed. We've been told you're not allowed to speculate on social media. We were also told there's no political motive, blah, 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 and it's nothing to do with terrorism by the Devon and Cornwall police. But that's been taken out of their hands now by South East Terrorism Command, who today have now taken it over as a, it quite clearly was politically motivated. I don't think anyone on Thursday, on Friday, that realised that this was a murder would have thought anything else, especially the day after Farage has announced I think, a quite clever move to try and stymie the establishment, the Uni Party and the Zionist lobby's attempts to destroy him through the Parliamentary Standards Commissioner, who is I think we discussed this last week, is a raging Zionist. He's a pro-Israel genocide who calls people that don't serve in the Israeli Defense Force parasites. So, I mean, obviously Farage realizes he's not going to get any fair hearing from him. And so that's the big thing for me, is the way that this has been attempted to be spun as nothing to see here. And finally today there's an admission that it's almost certainly an assassination.
Farage and his cohorts, his colleagues at Reform UK, are unabashedly, unashamedly pro-Israel and are Zionists themselves. We might come back to that. Farage is a screaming Israel fan and has absolutely no problem whatsoever with the unfolding genocide in Gaza. But we'll come back to that in a minute. This will really interest you. Hang on a second. I subscribe, the Richie Allen Show subscribes to all the broadsheets. This afternoon, a story went live on the Telegraph, which has been taken down at the speed of light. And the story said, today I read it, it said that Anne Widdecombe allowed an antiques entertainment show come around her home a couple of years ago for one of the networks. It was a celebrity show where they'd go to the celebrity's house and they would suggest you should sell this and you should sell that. And Anne did. The Telegraph reported today that the episode featuring Anne, originally filmed a few years ago, was rebroadcast very, very recently, maybe as much as a week or so ago, and that you wouldn't have had to be too clever now to figure out from the episode exactly where Anne Widdecombe was living. That story has been taken off the Telegraph. Now, as far as I can tell, it has been taken down from the Telegraph website. I'm on the homepage at the moment. It was on the homepage an hour ago. Yeah. I wonder if that had anything to do with it, I wonder.
Well, there are other stories that have been taken down. I noticed yesterday, Sunday, that the Saturday stories where Nigel Farage was down at Hay Tor in Dartmoor and did a little mini press conference saying that he did believe that this was politically motivated, and he couldn't say for certain, but it certainly seemed that way. Those articles were taken off of the Devon Live and the Somerset Live websites, but I managed to get cached copies of them. I mean, there's obviously an attempt to steer the public opinion through the police press office at Devon and Cornwall, and also through attempting to wipe information off of the internet, which has been put up by news articles. This is the sort of thing we see in politically motivated either terror attacks or whatever. I mean, that's exactly what you'd expect. It's the sort of thing we saw on 7/7, loads of articles being removed very quickly, and 9/11. So there's clearly a political element to this, and I just think it's really insulting to the entire public, for the police and for the press to be repeating this nonsense about nothing to see here, no political motive, don't speculate online. This is the reason we're speculating online, is because they're lying to us, Richie.
Yeah, but hang on a second. Give them a break, the police. It happened on Wednesday of last week. They've had to secure that scene. They've had the guy in for questioning. Somebody said to the BBC this morning that the guy's been saying nothing. Absolutely nothing. So the police can only do what the police can do. They can only interview the guy. And if the guy no comments them 500 times, what else can they do other than go over Anne Widdecombe's devices? I believe Nigel Farage said today that they're going to look at her mobile phones. They're going to look at her laptops to see if she'd received any threats. Give them a break, Tony. We live in this crazy 24-hour news world now where we want answers immediately. Murder inquiries can take weeks, mate, and sometimes even months, you know, before we get to the bottom of it. So I'm going to stick up for the police there.
Well, look, if David Lammy had been murdered last week, do you think that police would think that there was maybe a political motive? Because let's remember that Reform UK are really the main opposition in this country. Both left and right are voting for them. The polls all suggest that if there was a general election tomorrow, they stand a pretty good chance of even getting a majority, despite the first-past-the-post system really being ranged against them. And so Anne Widdecombe was the justice spokesperson for Reform. She had an immense amount of experience. And so effectively she was like the shadow justice secretary. She was the person in the country that if there's a controversial decision like getting rid of jury trials, for example, that Lammy's up to, she would be for me as a hopefully impartial journalist, the go-to person to get comment from, being the main opposition. So I think it's obvious that somebody like this being murdered is likely, highly likely to have a political motive. The police surely are just playing games by pretending that's not the case.
It could be also, Tony, that it is motivated by political ideology, but it's also just a lunatic. You know, I just texted a friend of mine there. You did have my undivided attention, by the way. I can multitask. I texted a friend of mine very quickly there. She's listening with great interest to you. And I said, well, might it be identity politics? Might this be somebody who took umbrage at Anne Widdecombe's Christianity, at her positions on same-sex marriage and things like that? Maybe, again, you know, they tell us not to do this because it isn't helpful, but it could just be a nutter who hated her politics and saw an opportunity, no?
Well, yes, but a nutter that kills someone for political reasons is still an assassination.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. I mean, you can call them a nutter. I mean, let's compare this to what's happened just over the last week or so to Prince Harry, him having the royal family, particularly Charles and Camilla, saying they don't think he's entitled to protection. Now, I mean, this is exactly the same sort of thing that Reform UK have had to put up with. The idea really is, I think here, is that we're getting a politicisation of the police. We're getting police state, basically. So if you're our mates, if you're part of the Uniparty, you'll get protection. anybody else, well, it's fair game. And, you know, I think that's the message that's been contained. And I imagine also, I mean, I think Reform will actually probably at the polls do really well out of Anne Widdecombe's murder. People will see, in a similar way to Trump and his assassination attempt, as well as the attempts to destroy him through the courts in America, did great things for his popularity all the way through those court cases. You could see his popularity ratings in the states going up and up and up. And I think people will be more likely to vote Reform as a result of this.
But that's a very sad eventuality, isn't it? Because you and I will bang heads on this all week long. I'll always give you the final word. The guy was given £5 million from a billionaire who's domiciled in Thailand or wherever it is. And he was given that within the 12-month time period that he stood as MP. It's against the rules. It's unacceptable to be given three or four different stories. You know, Reform support. I have no problem with anybody having a political ideology. What I really get upset about is when people are so steadfastly, ideologically driven one way that they will forgive their heroes anything or they won't ask any questions.
That's Nigel not healthy. Farage is not, not healthy my enough. Hero. Let me just make
I never
clear.
Said he was your hero.
Widdecombe.
I never said he was your
you
hero.
You know, Widdecombe voted for the Iraq War. You know, she's certainly no saint, although some would say because she's a Catholic martyr, potentially, maybe she, you know, at some point she might be beatified, God knows.
Canonized.
But, there are faults in all of these people. But I think we just need to look very carefully at the way this has been spun by the establishment. And, of course, it was pitched, Farage's resignation was pitched as a people versus the establishment. Now, maybe that's spin. Maybe that's just spin.
Yeah.
But it certainly is looking more and more like the establishment have been also trying to cover up for someone who's murdered one of his chief lieutenants, and she had a massive amount of experience. I don't know, there's been some interesting articles around about her family history, that her father was involved with the top one of the top people in the Royal Navy, who was involved in making sure that the Navy in Malta was supplied during the siege of Malta. I mean, she was quite a heavyweight character in terms of her political background, her knowledge, and the weight that she brought to discussions and debates. And she honestly believed that this was a fair and free country, and that she could say whatever she wanted, and that she would never have to face this sort of horror which brought her down on Wednesday.
Yeah, you'll know, some of our listeners might, some of them won't, but I interviewed her regularly for many, many years on nighttime radio in Spain, on television in London, and then she was on this programme regularly up until 2019, when the boards of deputies of British Jews told every politician in the country not to go on the Richie Allen show again. But that's okay. I admired her. I admired the fact that she would have gone to the wall to defend my rights to do this programme. She would never have had it. She would never have allowed a situation develop where media is banned or where people are debanked. I admired her greatly for that. I used the term yesterday on the music show, redoubtable. You know, she could be fearsome in debate because she was so clever. She was always incredibly well briefed. You couldn't get anything past her, really. And I'll miss her being around, to be honest. She was
definitely.
She was,
I mean, woman. I did interview her. I had one of our politics show with her as well, which I've been digging out and having a bit of a listen back to. You don't have to agree with what she's saying, but she actually puts her point. I mean, this is why, you know, let's say Burnham has a political crisis or whatever in the next year or so. I mean, this horrific coronation that's going on with no even attempt to make it legitimate. I mean, Starmer he's only got 28% of the vote and he's managed to get in. And now we've got Burnham. No, there's really no democracy within the Labour Party that's allowing any kind of selection about who is going to replace him. We're seeing all straight away his chief of staff and his head of the policy unit are both raging, rampant pro-Israeli genocidalists. So, I mean, you can see exactly what's going on there. But you see, even if there was a political crisis and there was a general election called, which is pretty unlikely because the Labour Party are sticking to this like Klingons, this election result look from 2 years ago, it's quite possible that Anne Widdecombe would have become Justice Secretary or taken one of the senior roles like Home Secretary, Foreign Secretary, potentially even a Prime Minister. So that is one of the things which I find specifically horrifying about this, never mind the circumstances of her being bludgeoned to death or however she was killed. But this is a part of our political future, which, like it or not, there's a tremendous upswelling of opinion around the country behind reform, both from right and left, breaking this sort of domination of the Unity Party, and also neoliberal economics. That is one thing that the reform are generally against. They're talking about, you know, asserting the Treasury and the Bank of England, asserting themselves against the City of London, which is the one thing we really have to do. It's like when Trump gets in, you think, what are you going to do about the Federal Reserve, boy? You know, and this is the only party that I've seen, the Greens have said nothing about it, etc., that's saying anything about let's get our elected politicians to put the banking people in order. And she could have well have been part of that if she hadn't been murdered in this horrific fashion.
Do you know, if Reform forms the next government or is a senior partner in a coalition, if it does take on the Bank of England and the City of London, well, I'll eat whatever hats I have. And well, that's for another day. Tony Gosling is our guest. He's our guest until 6 p.m. And thanks for coming on at short notice. It's important stuff, this. The Bristol Politics Show, live every Friday at 5 o'clock. It's outstanding. Go to Politics This Week online, or thisweek.org.uk. We'll get you to the page. So we don't do what the lunatic left do. We don't laugh at people dying. We don't mock people's death. At all. And there's no but here. I'm going to say, however, Lindsey Graham never saw a country or a territory that he didn't want to invade and bomb. This guy was in Ukraine a few days ago meeting Volodymyr Zelensky. Apparently they were very tight. He gets home and on Saturday it is announced that he's died suddenly. At the BBC and other bureaus reporting this afternoon that he had cardiovascular disease, pretty advanced, and some sort of an aortic tear did for Lindsey Graham. Why was this guy, Tony? Because you are far more read and well up on US politics than I've ever been, and there's no bullshit there, you are. Why was this guy such a power broker or so influential in various US administrations, Lindsey Graham?
Well, I think it's probably because he's part of the deep state and the whatever, you know, committee that runs things here in the West. I mean, we don't really have democratic politics is a pantomime, a sideshow for the stupid people that believe what they see on television. The real government is operating, I think, in Britain and America, in many other countries, but particularly those two, behind the scenes. The easiest way to see it is look at what was revealed in Italy in the 1980s with the propaganda Due Lodge, which was run by fascist Licio Gelli. They were the heads of the banks, the heads of the army, the police, the whole bureaucracy, loads of the newspaper chiefs and heads of some of the senior people in various political parties. They met in a very big country residence and ran the country from there. And this was all revealed in the 1980s in the P2 scandal, including judges, by the way. And I think it's Impossimato, the former head of the Supreme Court in Italy, that revealed a lot about the shenanigans through Europe that have been rumbling on ever since this was exposed. I honestly think, so for example, when Farage made his announcement of a resignation last Tuesday, this committee, whoever they are, we can guess who they might be sitting around that table in the UK, would have gone, oh my God, what are we going to do now? He's wrong-footed us. And it could possibly be that this is something that's been covertly ordered by them. Now, I think that's probably unlikely, but that's actually, I think, the way these things work, that, you know, you've got a committee that's secret, that's completely secret, whether it's involving royals, secretive groups of ex-intelligence peoples like Le Cercle, the Bilderbergers, Freemasonry. But anyway, this is, I think, actually how how things work. And that's what's going on with Lindsey Graham. I mean, it's really interesting. I mean, Larry Johnson has done the timeline on this, and it definitely should be. I mean, if there was still a program like Panorama or World in Action, that would be a good theme for this week. You know, let's get into this. Let's get our teeth into this one. We can put it to bed and get it out to the public, and we can make a bit of a guess as to whether there's any truth to these rumors about Lindsey Graham actually being killed by a Russian drone strike. Maybe they were watching, maybe they saw his mobile phone go into a drone factory and thought, here's a great chance to get him. And maybe that can be all covered up by the Western press, and that would never be allowed to get out. It's feasible, especially in wartime, that this sort of stuff can happen.
Yeah, it's also, I mean, if there's any truth to any of that, right, it's a theory, if there is any truth to any of that, why would senior politicians, senators, why would they take a risk? Why would you take a risk going into Kyiv or anywhere in Ukraine? Because there's always that risk that the Russians are going to find out and think, well, this is a great scalp. I don't know why they do that. Not, you know, Trump has not gone to Ukraine. Starmer has done, as far as I can remember. But even then, you think that's very, very risky, isn't it, to be doing that?
Well, I don't know if you saw the long interview with Dmitry Peskov in English last week, which, no. I mean, I sat and watched the whole thing. It's well worth it. I think it's a German channel that's done it. The Russians' tune is changing. They're saying, well, we've had enough of, we've realized that there is actually no point in negotiating with this guy. And Peskov goes through, I think it's 5 or 6 rounds of negotiations that there's been. And they've said, well, no, we're not going to negotiate anymore because we've realized that these negotiations are only an attempt to kick the can down the road so you can get on with all sorts of more dodgy shenanigans. And also we've noticed with interest these various pipelines that are being created for as the Ukrainian army is collapsing, for weapons to be used to directly hit Russia that are prepared and fired by the Western powers and can't be used without the aid and help of the Western powers. Things like the Patriot missiles now being built in Ukraine, a franchise being granted by Trump at the NATO summit. They're watching all this stuff and they're saying, well, look, we've really had enough of this. We're going to have to start playing hardball, basically. And that maybe this, if Lindsey Graham was killed in this drone factory, this is one of the first messages that they're sending. You remember a few weeks ago when the Russians jammed, at least allegedly anyway, they jammed our own defense secretary's aircraft when he was coming back from the Baltic states.
Yeah, so it was reported,
what they're doing is that I think sending messages to those in the defense establishment, and particularly the political defense establishment, politicians like Graham, like the defense secretary here, to say to them, look, you may think that there is no consequence to your starting a war with Russia. And this is one thing that, going back to Erin Widdecombe, she was absolutely clear about. Only a madman would want to start a war with Russia. But it seems that that's not the political view in London at all. That if you start speaking out saying that having a war with Russia is a crazy thing to do and we've got to stop it, then you're considered a mad person. You really are. And so she, you know, this is another reason why she was problematic to the establishment. She really was.
I want to get two things in before six. We've got about 6 minutes. The Financial Times and the Telegraph reported today that the EU has bought a record amount of liquefied natural gas, or LNG, from Russia, giving essentially about £5 billion to the Russian state. Now, this is ahead of a ban. So the EU has also said that by January of next year, we're not going to be buying any more Russian gas at all. So as quick as you can, is that any sort of a clue that this whole Ukraine-Russia thing might be wrapped up by the end of this year? What do you reckon?
No, I think it's more likely that the Americans are just going to be capitalizing on all this. I think this is partly why the US is, you know, they've allowed Trump to make him think that he can have some sort of peace with the Russians. That's never going to happen. As far as I can see, he's just not in charge of that. He's been completely outflanked, like he has been with trying to make peace with the Iranians. He's been outflanked by everybody on that one. And it's all back to, taking pot shots at each other again. No, I mean, there is no going back, I don't think. And the Russians are right. Peskov is right. And I thoroughly recommend people seek out that. Actually, I think the link, yes, the link is on my latest show page at thisweek.org.uk to see what the Russians are saying, because it's getting to the point. In fact, you know, this is another thing to talk about, that we're not allowed. This is this new act that Craig Murray was talking about and various other commentators. It was a good piece in The Guardian about it. The National Security Foreign States Act, I think, or something it's called. It's just been rushed through under emergency powers, that we're no longer allowed to take information from Russia or Iran. And if we do, that's considered supporting terrorist organizations of some sort. And that's it could be a criminal offence for up to 14 years in prison.
But that's an EU thing, isn't it? Isn't that an EU?
No, I don't think so. No, this is a UK law that's just been smuggled through. It's had hardly any coverage of it. Murray was talking about it on the Crispin Flintoff show. But if I can plug other programs. But it's absolutely shocking. And then the actual implementation of that, I sent you a little picture of that, which I got from some of the anti-Zionist people looking at it, saying, if we now talk about Iran in the Iranian Revolutionary Guard in any kind of sympathetic manner, we become criminals. Now, this is basically the death of journalism. And although people like you and I have been pushed out to the margins by the mainstream over the decades, over the years, you know, this is now a way of saying, well, all these people who are doing alternative podcasts, etc., as soon as they start saying anything positive about the Iranian Revolutionary Guard or echoing or even just commenting on something that they are also commenting on at the same time in a similar fashion, that this criminalizes you. This is the thought police. It really is. This is thought crime now. If you think something, doesn't matter whether it's true or not, that somebody thinks that's in any way associated with the Iranian government, you become a criminal. So it shows everybody that's paying attention that we are the evil empire. We're scared to death of the truth. And a country like that hasn't got long to last.
I'm going to have to see that law that's been smuggled through. Now, I'm not calling you. I'm not questioning your
bona fides. I'll send you a link to it. Yeah.
There's a good
Guardian piece on it.
But look, we've seen this coming for years. This was always the plan, wasn't it? Look, last week we heard that, what did we hear exactly last week about the online harms bill? That the government is finally going to put some teeth on these plans to seriously fine or even shut down social media companies when they don't take down whatever they're told to take down. You know,
this is the Online Safety Act.
Yeah.
It's very draconian.
Yeah.
And in fact, you know, for example, BitChute is an excellent alternative to YouTube. Only you can't see it in the UK at all. I upload stuff to there all the time, but nobody can view it in Britain. So Britain is becoming Big Brother state. And the idea is you have got to go along with the stupid people and believe the rubbish and the lies, like, oh, Anne Widdecombe has just died a natural death, you know, or whatever it happens to be. We're going to have to go along with this. And let's not forget David Amos and Joe Cox, by the way, the other MPs who were murdered. David Amos also was a Catholic and a ex-conservative. These are conviction politicians who were anti-abortion. They were anti-LGBT rights, this sort of thing. And that is another way, I suppose, murdering MPs is another way of actually stopping any kind of proper discussion and debate in Parliament or in the country. So we're going down a pretty dark route here where I think we're going to have to be strong to stand up and to speak the truth. It's going to become a revolutionary act, as George Orwell said it would.
And the other thing I was going to ask was about the IRGC, so thanks for dealing with that. We'll leave it there for today. Thanks for coming on short notice. Catch Tony this coming Friday. Catch every episode you might have missed on thisweek.org.uk, the Bristol Politics Show, every Friday at 5 with Tony Gosling. Thanks for today.
Thanks very much. Thanks ever so much, Richie. I will say one quick thing, and that is that we covered If people want to have a listen to last Friday's show, we covered something nobody else seems to have managed to cover at all, which is the Jewish Anti-Zionist Congress in Dublin last weekend, which is absolutely fascinating because, of course, the Zionist Congress started in the 1800s with Theodor Herzl and has led to the creation of the Zionist state in the 1940s. And there are Jewish people around the world are getting together, literally all over the world, getting together to show their opposition to Zionism and having their own congress to take Zionism down.
And there was one in Dublin at the weekend, and of course it didn't show up on the pages of RTE or the Irish Times.
Anyway, thanks ever so much, Richard.
You're welcome.
God bless, and thanks very much for giving me a call.
Brilliant, Tony. Thank you. Appreciate it. Tony Gosling live on the Richie Allen Show for Monday. It's coming up for a minute past six. As I said, thisweek.org.uk to catch every episode of the Bristol Politics Show, including the episode from Friday last.